Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey everybody, it's Michael Steele here. Now, I know you're waiting for the next big episode of the Michael Steele Podcast, but in the meantime, give a listen to this Michael Steele Podcast quick take.
We're having a wonderful conversation with John McWhorter in his new book, Woke Racism, How a New Religion Has Betrayed Black America. Let me ask you this. If this anti-racism strain that's out there, which people kind of, you know, as you note, you know, the new religion for a whole lot of folks out there. If not anti-racism, what should Americans embody? What should it be? What do you think it is?
Activism. And activism is not always anti-racism. The idea that what you're going to fight is the racism is like putting a hole in a tire. There's too much air that ends up slipping out that mm-hmm. would be better put to other uses. Of course, you want to decry racism where you can. As much as you can. And of course, systemic racism is a term you can use to describe what I think of as racial inequities. They're there. I don't like calling it racism. I find that awkward, but I know that I can't change it. It's there. But what you do is you go out and fix lives. And so, for example, if college is not for everybody, then you want to stress vocational education. And as you see policies coming along, you jump on that bandwagon because you know that that'll be good for Black people. It's like Jewish people who say, what's good for the Jews? It's not about hoping society will align itself on the side of Jewish uplift. The idea is of the things that are going on, mm-hmm. what's good for the Jews? What's good for us? And so to the extent that there is any movement to fund vocational education more and make it more available, that's something that you, as a quote-unquote anti-racist, should be all about. If there is a reading program, phonics, that works better for poor kids from bookless homes, that's good for the Jews, so to speak, except this time the Jews are the Black people. You want that in any Black school instead of the reading method, the reading teaching method where you just kind of look at whole words and piece them out because your parents know how to read anyway and you kind of drink in reading by osmosis. You and I probably learned to read that way.
Yep.
But if you're from a bookless home, you have to be taught how to sound out the words. That is a pro-Black reading method. People should fight for it. And that's actually one of my three planks in the book. And I think some people think he must just be an educator or something. No, I'm not a reading teacher. I just know that that makes the difference between somebody being interested in school and somebody finding reading difficult and winding up, frankly, on the street at 17. And so that's the issue. So it's not that I don't think anything needs to be done. It's not about bootstraps. It's just stop thinking that the way you solve Black America's problems is by spraying for bigotry and analyzing everything as the result of abstract bigotry. Because the reason you don't do that is because then you end up not helping Black people. That's the issue.
You get into that. I believe it's in chapter 5 where you begin to talk about dismantling those structures and saving Black America, as you put it, for real. Right. Mm-hmm. Walk us through your thinking there, because you talk about this efforts that combine political feasibility and effectiveness. What are you saying there?
Yeah, it's important. A lot of people, when they try to prescribe for Black America, do something that I really get, but that I'm not sure is very effective. They want to redo the Great Society. And so they come up with like 10 planks. We need this, we need that, we need this. And one of them is always jobs. You know, as if there's
or they come up with a platinum plan. So that's enough.
Right.
That's another conversation.
Like, what is it? You know, and so not to be mean to Tavis Smiley, but he used to do that. He had a whole book called I think it was called The Covenant. Mm-hmm. And it's like he lays out these 10 things that need to happen. The problem is 10 things aren't going to happen, especially with Congress the way it is now.
Right.
And Black Lives Matter has done the same thing. I understood what they were doing in the beginning, but then they have this slate of things that need to happen. But the thing is, none of that's going to happen. I try to put three things together that I see a certain momentum building behind already that would change Black communities so that, you know, for example, quote unquote, get us jobs. That doesn't mean anything. The issue is preparing people to be able to have the jobs that are already there. Right. And so for me, it really is end the war on drugs, teach reading via phonics instead of via woo-woo magic, and really emphasize vocational education and get past the idea that being a default American is that you go to 4 years of college. I cannot stand watching Black audiences being told we must make 4 years of college available to everybody. Right. It'd be nice, but it, really 2 years of vocational education should be available to everybody for free so that everybody can become an electrician. That's the
right
point.
Right.
And I think that if those three things were done, the Black community would turn upside down in 20 years, and we would have a whole different conversation about race, about microaggressions, about systemic racism, because almost all Black people would be basically thriving. And I don't mean that as utopian. I really just mean that that would save our communities. And I hope that something like it can happen. It really would help.
How do you propose working around these adherents to this new religion, this sort of anti-racism, woke kind of environment that, as you've laid out, really is draining, sapping a lot of creative opportunity and energy in both white and Black communities? How do you work around them? What's the workaround? And what, in the end, should people, when they close the book, in that moment when you fought, we've all had that moment when you read a really good book and you close it, you kind of digest it. What do you want them to digest?
That's a really good question. You know what I want them to take from it? And because you're right, the truth is when you read, especially a nonfiction book, 3 years later, you remember two things. You know, what would I want that to be from this one? And you know what it is? It's the last two words, stand up. I think that a lot of us are under the impression that if somebody says something and they use the words social justice, hegemony, and intersectionality in the sentence, that you're supposed to just say yes. You're supposed to say amen. And if you don't, you get called a racist on Twitter. You know, on Twitter, somebody has your address and they call you a white supremacist. Right. Now, because we've made such progress on race, most people would rather almost be called a pedophile than a racist. That's good in a way.
Right.
But it means that these people, I don't think they do this consciously, but these people end up having a weapon. It's a kind of a Darwinian evolution. If they're going to call you a white supremacist on Twitter, if they don't get what they want, they automatically get what they want. So what we need to do is learn that the world will not necessarily end if you get called a racist on Twitter. And we need to start just telling people like this, no. They sit, they stand there and they say, this is the way we need to do things because George Floyd got killed. And for about a year and a half, everybody said, okay. But now it's time to start saying, you're right. Not going to get what you want. And you can call me anything you want. And I'm going to maybe call you some names on Twitter. And then we're going to go on about the very well-intentioned, enlightened thing that we were doing. That kind of person needs to learn that they have to sit at the table with the rest of us. I don't want to chase them out of the room. Sit down with the rest of us instead of standing up and thinking that you're going to run things with your notion that you have found the solution to all of the world's problems. Because the thing is, nobody has. And frankly, if anybody gets close to it, these people sure as hell have not. But we have to stop being afraid of them. And so the thing I want people to carry away from woke racism ultimately is stand up for enlightened approaches to race. Stand up for the way you were thinking in 2019 and stop letting these people run the show. But that means that, you know, the white person in particular has two things now. One, you have to stop being a racist. Two, you have to get used to people calling you a racist out in the public square. Stand up, walk on, and realize that life will continue and that probably most people you know agree with you. That's the message, because I want real things to happen for Black people, but it can't with this kind of person calling the tune.
And there it is. And I hope, and I know people will see that and walk away from this book. It was an experience for me to begin to digest it and understand and try to get into where you were going, because there's so many places where I would just say exactly. Exactly. Good. You know, just that's it. That's
I like
it.
Hearing that.
Yeah. Good. I mean, no, really, seriously, they're just they're, and I think people will have that same experience where they will say exactly, but they will also find their points in the book where, you know, you call out behavior, you call out thinking. And I think the challenge is going to be for folks to recognize themselves in that behavior and that thinking. That's where you have to get honest with yourself in reading the book, which is why I asked the question when they close it, mm-hmm. what do you want them to take away from that moment when they, okay, wow. And I think that will be very much the experience. John, you, man, I tell you, it's a great one. I'm happy to push this hard for folks because for folks to read, because I think it's important and can be seminal in the conversations that we're having now around race. We didn't even get into the CRT crap because I'm just so exhausted talking about that. But you know, you see so many examples today of why woke racism is a betrayal to Black America, and how as Black people, we have to, I think, reassert ourselves, our narrative in this conversation very differently from how we've done up till now. And that's what you're all about. That's what you're all about here.
Definitely. That is it. That is what it's all about.
Thanks for downloading this Michael Steele podcast quick take. Now, you can always find us on Apple Podcasts where, guess what? You can review us. You can give us 5 stars. Oh, yeah. I love the 5-star rating. Or you can catch us on iHeart, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcasts. See you soon.
I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. I created the Sportsmanship Foundation to promote and educate parents and athletes about the role of good sportsmanship in our development. Learn more at winnersunlimited.com. That's winnersunlimited.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.